Donald Trump's legal challenges also start our day's other news. At his hush money trial in New York, a former tabloid publisher offered more details about burying stories in 2016 that could have hurt then-candidate Trump. David Pecker described the so-called catch-and-kill schemes, one involving a former Playboy model who claimed she had an affair with Trump. Also today, prosecutors said Trump violated a gag order four more times. That brings the total to 15. The judge has not yet ruled on that matter. The U.S. and 17 other nations have issued a joint appeal for Hamas to release the roughly 130 hostages still believed to be held by the group. The statement insisted that, quote, the deal on the table to release the hostages would bring an immediate and prolonged ceasefire in Gaza. Hamas said it would not be influenced by the appeal. That comes a day after Hamas released an undated video of American-Israeli hostage Hirsch Goldberg Polin. Today, the State Department said the video underscores the urgency of reaching an agreement.
It is a high time that every hostage be released. There has been a deal on the table that Hamas continues to move the goalposts for. And so we would stress the dire circumstance and the dire importance for this to be done and to be done so immediately.
Also today, a Hamas official told the Associated Press that the group would agree to a truce if a Palestinian state is established. The Israeli government of Benjamin Netanyahu has said it is opposed to such a scenario. Meanwhile, Israeli airstrikes killed at least six people in the southern city of Rafah. The early morning attacks reduced three houses to rubble. At least two children and a local journalist were reported among the dead. And in Washington, mourners gathered at the National Cathedral to honor seven World Central Kitchen aid workers killed in Gaza earlier this month by a series of Israeli airstrikes. Chef Jose Andres said they represented the, quote, best of humanity. In Haiti, Ariel Henry has resigned as prime minister after months of gang violence left more than 2,500 people dead or injured between January and March. A nine-member transitional council is now tasked with selecting a new leader and cabinet. The interim prime minister, a holdover from Henri's government, said the crisis has gone on far too long.
Haiti, notre pays.
Haiti, our country, is at a crossroads in the search for solutions to overcome this multidimensional political crisis, the consequences of which are detrimental to the population, to property, and both public and private infrastructures.
The White House called the council a, quote, critical step toward free and fair elections in Haiti. The Federal Communications Commission voted to reinstate so-called net neutrality rules today. The regulations were first introduced during the Obama era. They treat broadband service like a utility, similar to phones and water, meaning they can be regulated. FCC Chair Jessica Rosenworcel stressed the importance of the ruling, saying, quote, every consumer deserves internet access that is fast, open, and fair. This is common sense. In Baltimore, a cargo ship exited the harbor today for the first time since the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed last month. Maritime traffic has been limited since the cargo ship Dolly lost power in late March and crashed into the bridge. Six road workers were killed in that crash. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is pushing Chinese officials on what the U.S. considers Beijing's unfair trade practices. In China, Blinken pressed Shanghai's highest official on the need for a, quote, level playing field. Asked about Blinken's comments, Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Wang Wenbin stood by his nation's economic policies.
China has always carried out economic and trade cooperation in accordance with the principles of the market, and has always been firmly supportive of the multilateral trading system and fully implements the rules of the World Trade Organization.
Blinken next heads to Beijing, where he's scheduled to meet with China's foreign minister on Friday. The U.S. economy grew at its slowest pace in 2 years to start 2024 as consumer spending pulled back. Commerce Department reported GDP growth of 1.6% in the first quarter compared to the same period last year. That is less than expected. And it's down from 3.4% growth rate in the final months of 2023. That weaker-than-expected economic data sent a shiver through Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 375 points to close at 38,085. The Nasdaq dropped just over 100 points, and the S&P 500 gave back 23. And Venice has become the first city in the world to charge an entrance fee. Day trippers arriving between 8:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. will have to pay roughly $5 on peak days. It's part of a pilot program to help curb over-tourism. Single-day visitors make up the majority of the crowds in Venice. Hundreds of locals protested the new fees today. They say it won't discourage mass tourism. Still to come on the NewsHour, protests against Israel's war in Gaza spread across college campuses nationwide. The EPA unveils new rules curtailing emissions from coal power plants. And a new book on the groundbreaking career of Barbara Walters.
This is the PBS NewsHour from WETA Studios in Washington, and in the West from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University.